Welcome to our service. Welcome to the Vines, the 17th of July. We are halfway through winter. I'm not counting or anything. The middle of the 3 months of winter, I love it. So that means that winter will come to an end and we might get some warmer weather. We might be able to feel our fingertips. In my head, and it always been like this, it's a strange head, I accept the fact, but in my head, as soon as I see blossom and as soon as I see daffodils or jonquils, I know that winter is going to finish. So that means I start to go, yes, it's all okay. There'll be flowers, there'll be spring, and that'll be fantastic. We also pause today to consider opening our arms wider, to celebrate the fact that the Uniting Church is a multicultural church. And David will explain more of the multicultural things later. And we've got some pictures to look at. Fantastic. The recommendation is back to the wearing of masks when you're singing, but we can still enjoy the singing. But for now, let's stand and sing and maybe even move our feet a little. Stand up for Jesus. Okay, let us now stay standing and we will sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Well, you can sit down and sing. I'm happy with that, as long as you're singing. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all.
Among the stars. sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in
Please be seated. Good to see you all. Those online. It's been a while since I've had to try and manage that. Hey, look, good to see you all. Got a few notices here. Today is Multicultural Sunday in the Uniting Church across Australia. So today we're going to have a little bit of a feature. And they had a whole pile of different resources, but we'll be watching a video shortly which picks up some of the different congregations in South Australia and beyond. As we've been continuing through, we've been doing our top five or top seven. And this week, Judy Beams has shared her top five. And let me read them out for you. Take time for rest and stillness each day. Give thanks for five things each day. Connect with and delight in God's wonderful and healing nature. Do all the good you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. And the final one, have vision to see, faith to believe, courage to do. So again, look, we've all got different ways in which we try and summarize. Even if you can just come up with your top one, I'm really happy to put that in here. Because part of it is what we're trying to do is retell some of the things that are important to us. Friday Friends is coming up at the end of the month, and after church today we've got family sharing shared lunch for the kids who are charging around, so that'll be good. Looking forward to that. And I think it's time for our video clip, so hopefully, Maestro, we shall see if that works.
Thank you.
Kids, school holidays, are you having fun? Jump down the front here, we'll do some Dave's dynamic drawings. They look very dodgy at times. Hey look, so good to see you all here today. I thought what I'd do today is I would ask the question, when God looks at you, when God looks at you, what does he see? Does God see? What do you think that is? Cheers. Well, no, I'm not laughing. It's a bad drawing. Okay, what are these little critters? So they look like giraffes, but they're not supposed to look like giraffes. No, not rabbits. Look, I'll have to just start that again. All right, let me just try this. Like I said, Dave's dodgy drawings. What could these? I know what I'll do. And someone said ants. Well done. Give that person a chocolate. Look.
Wasn't me, don't worry.
This is going to be a long session. Look, does God look at us and just think, oh, what am I doing? Yes. Yes. Does God just look at us and think, they're ants, they're numbers? Does God look at us and think, what is going on? What do you think? Huh? Well, yeah, you could think, what is going on? When God looks at us, does God just think, you're little ants, you're just a number? Oh. When God looks at us, God looks at us, at us. Okay, so this is what I think. That is what I'm trying to do. So God, it's very hard doing this upside down. It's my excuse. It's just terrible drawing. Where does Australia go?
Just there.
Thank you. Tasmania, New Zealand. And the rest of the world over here somewhere. So, what is this? What is God doing? So, holding the whole world, what does that mean? Is he like trying to catch it? I could be protecting, yes. What else could it mean? What else could it mean? When you hug someone, it's because you think they smell badly? Oh, God loves, okay, loves us. So God holds, God looks at us with eyes of love, with hugs. What about this? Do you reckon God would give us a big, oh, I have to draw that. Very hard to draw that. What about that? Big kiss? I'm just getting silly now, aren't I? Okay.
Getting.
So when God looks at us, God doesn't think, you're a bunch of ants, you're just a number. God looks at us, loves the whole world. Doesn't matter which part of the world you come from, loves us. And if he could give us a big kiss, it would. All right, let me say a prayer, and you guys need to do some more drawing in like you're doing. So let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that, yeah, you do love us, regardless where we are in the world. You know each of us by name. You love us. Thank you for that on this Multicultural Sunday. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Don't run away. We need some singers.
Okay.
Don't run away. So what was David talking about? He was talking about those arms and the heart, and he was saying about loving us, right? Chloe, do you know a song that is talking about loving us? What's the song? What's the song? Jesus loves me, this I know. Hey, coincidentally, that's the one we've been practicing. So why don't you come up here and stand here and sing Jesus loves me, this I know, with us, with all of these people here. Grab your microphone. You ready? Here we go. Stay seated, but there'll be more. Here we go. Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
It goes,
yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Good.
The Bible tells me so.
Well done. There are some smiles down there that are missing teeth, but it is such a good smile when you sing, yes, Jesus. We're going to sing this song again. But Chloe's got an idea. When we sing yes, what are we going to do?
Punch the air.
Punch the air. So we're going to go, yes, Jesus loves me. Okay. So to punch the air properly, you probably should be standing, right? And we are going to swing it a little bit. David's going to swing it a little bit. So it's going to be a bit groovy. So you'll have to bounce your knees. And we've got to work out, well, Chloe has to work out, that one hand holds the microphone and the other hand punches, because it's no good if you punch with the microphone hand because it's suddenly not there anymore. So, let's see how we go. Standing up, come on. Here we go.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
With a smile.
And the Bible tells me so. Little ones to
well done.
Belong in his love.
Punch the air. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Verse 2, it goes. Told you, if you punch the air, everybody else would punch the air with you. Well done. You can put that down there. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Pam, can you follow that? I'm sorry. You guys can sit down now. That was fantastic. Really, really good singing.
Good morning, all. Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day, and we ask that you will be with us now as we bring our prayers of intercession before you. We know that you do stand with us through the challenges of each new day. When times seem exceptionally difficult, remind us that they will pass if we place our trust in you. Let us pray. Lord, our world is still suffering. We are saddened to hear of the recent senseless assassination of the Japanese Prime Minister. It's so hard to comprehend the reasoning behind such an attack. The war in the Ukraine drags on, as leaders of the world gather to exchange their strategies, but still the losses are heartbreaking. Homes, schools, hospitals targeted, so that the humanitarian crisis is immense. The recent massive earthquake in Afghanistan, with the loss of over 1,000 lives, compounds the everyday loss of liberty there. We ask for your comfort and protection to all those who continue to fight, and for all the displaced refugees as they face uncertain futures. It does seem there's plenty to bring before you, Lord, before we even come to COVID issues. Times have been better, certainly, but we must not allow ourselves to lose our diligence or become complacent. Our wonderful doctors and nurses still shoulder heavy burdens daily. Help them to find some quiet, restful moments in their everyday exhaustion. Once more, we are faced with devastating floods, especially in New South Wales. We ask your blessing on all those who will have the mammoth task of cleaning up when these floods have subsided. Father, we pray that we might be more open to others who need to share how they're feeling. Whether it's anxiety, loneliness, homelessness, or dealing with sickness or the loss of a loved one. It's difficult to be strong in times of trauma, but we know that you will encircle each and every one of these in your love and give them comfort and support where it's most needed. We bring those on our hearts and minds before you now. Lord, we ask your blessing on our church here at the Vines. It seems we're still adjusting, even as COVID recedes a little. We pray for the confidence and optimism to be regularly a part of our church community. For our Minister David, our leaders and worship team, and all those actively working to bring us back to a place of unity and peace. We continue to pray for your encouragement and guiding hand. Help us to know you completely and share our faith with all we meet. For these and all other thoughts, spoken and unspoken, we bring them before you in the certain knowledge that you will hear and answer our prayers. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.
Give thanks because he's
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for our lives. And as we give you thanks for our lives, we want to give back something to you. Not only gratitude, not only being here present on a Sunday or online, but we offer to our lives the time, our efforts, our money. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people said, Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Leon.
Good morning, all. The reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, verses 28 to 47. In Christ's family. In Christ's family, there can be no division into Jew and non-Jew, slave and free, male and female. Among us, you are all equal. That is, we are all in a common relationship with Jesus Christ. Also, since you are Christ's family, then you are Abraham's famous descendant, heirs according to the covenant promises. Let me show you the implications of this. As long as the heir is a minor, he has no advantage over the slave, though legally he owns the entire inheritance. He is subject to tutors and administrators until whatever date the father has set for emancipation. That is the way it is with us. When we were minors, we were just like slaves, ordered around by simple instructions. The tutors and administrators of this world, with no say in the conduct of our own lives. But when the time arrived that was set by God, the Father, God sent his Son, born among us of a woman, born under the conditions of the law, so that he might redeem those of us who have been kidnapped by the law. Thus we have been set free to experience our rightful heritage. You can tell for sure that you are now fully adopted as his own children, because God sent the Spirit of his Son into our lives, crying out, Papa, Father. Doesn't that privilege of intimate conversation with God make it plain that you are not a slave, but a child? And if you are a child, you're also an heir with complete access to the inheritance. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, when I was choosing songs for this week, the fact that I'm an old bloke in an old bloke's jazz band sort of took a little bit of a... it made a bit of a impact on me, and I figured that we needed to swing a few things. That's why we swung Jesus Loves Me, and we're going to swing Just a Closer Walk with Thee, and we're going to enjoy it. It'll be beautiful. Please stand and sing Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
Just a closer walk with thee.
I saw your head bopping around, Uncle Laurie. You did well, very good.
Yeah, thanks, team. It's always great to have a team of people using their gifts. And next week, Trevor is actually going to be bringing us the message on freedom. So I'm looking forward to that, Trev. Thank you very much. And again, if you feel you've got a story you want to share with the congregation, the church, those online, whatever, have a chat to me. We're always looking for ways to try to connect in and give expression to our faith and our journey. So let's start with a prayer. Or continue with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for life. We thank you we have the opportunity to gather here safely. We ask that as we sit and reflect on the words and prayers we've heard today, that you would ask from us something that we can give in love to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm always a bit cautious when I do a topic like forgiveness. So last week, that tends to stir a lot of stuff. It's like, you know, anyway, so if you've had a bit of a mixed week and your emotions have been flying everywhere because of the theme of forgiveness, well, that's pretty normal, I have to say. So again, I'm really happy to chat to people if you'd like. And today, really, the theme we're picking up is no longer a slave, but a child of God. And the next slide particularly just picks up this key part of the scripture we heard. In Christ's family, there can be no division into Jew or non-Jew, slave and free, male and female. Among us, you are all equal. That is, we are all in a common relationship with Jesus Christ. Also, since you are Christ's family, then you are Abraham's famous descendant, heirs according to the covenant promise. Now, for the kids' talk, I was actually going to do a family tree. And it was all going to lead back to this amazing Abraham descendant. But there's no way I could seriously get a big enough board or actually figure out how I was going to do it. But the idea was there, somehow, that somehow we're all part of this amazing faith family because of the connection we have with Jesus. That's what makes talking about a multicultural church relevant, because we're all part of the same family. All part of the same family. And at the time, what Paul was talking about was mind-blowing. What Jesus had done was just revolutionary, because it changed how people understood themselves. So when Paul wrote and said, there is no slave or free, he was writing to a time when people were slaves, literally slaves. There were slaves. You would have, maybe the more slaves you had, the wealthier you were, the more significant you were. It was just like, wow. So Paul's writing to slaves saying, hey, look, there's no slave, no free, no male, no female. All of you amongst us, we are all equal. All equal. Now, as Australians, we get that, don't we? We always like to chop people's legs off and make them about the same height. It's just the way we do business. We're all equal. You shouldn't be up there. But it's, from a Christian point of view, what we're actually saying is some massive things about how we relate to others. And it's very easy to talk about beliefs, isn't it? Our right beliefs. The right belief is that we treat everybody equally. We know families maybe are complex things. And I guess when we're trying to apply a truth across people who we don't even know, it can be hard enough in a family, let alone people we don't even know, then there are some challenges, aren't there? One thing to say, everybody's equal, no slave, no free, no male, no female. Another thing to actually live it out. Some people get caught up with having the right belief, but unless belief is applied, unless it is an action, then it's almost like a nice theory. Like in Latin America, they came up with the term orthopraxis. Try spelling that quickly. But what I was talking about was right practice. You have orthodoxy, which is right belief, orthopractice, right action. So for the people in Latin America, it was one thing to talk about God's love for the poor. It was another thing to do something about it. And so the Latin theologians, actually Latin American theologians, focused on how we actually help the poor discover a level of lifestyle that meant that they weren't destitute. And it's an ongoing challenge, isn't it? Orthopraxis, right action. That's what we're invited to do. And I guess, you know, like for many Christians in the Americas, with when cotton farmers who had slaves, you know, before the War of Independence, no, not that one, War of Civil War, showing my American history really well. But you know what I'm saying is there was that emancipation, that freedom from being a slave was something that took a long time for the world to actually understand. And even today, there is many who experience that poverty. And I guess, you know, as Christians in Australia, we think of our own Kaurna people on whose land we stand. You know, what is our connection with them? Their previous leaders, their existing and future leaders. I mean, how do we connect with them? And it's something I'd like us to continue to explore, but I'm not sure what that really looks like. And again, it's like when our beliefs as Christians are shaped by Jesus' action, no slave, no free, no male, no female, we're all one. It's a powerful thing. Right belief, right action. Andy Stanley is an American author who I occasionally listen to, and his great line, I'm not sure if it's his own original, but he would say, integrity is only integrity when it costs you something. So as Christians, you know, integrity is only integrity when it costs us something. So what does that look like when we relate to those who are marginalized in our community, in our society? You know, and I guess we're really looking at multi-generation, intergenerational, and it's been wonderful to have the kids a part of us. It's wonderful to have the frames a part of our lives. And it would have been great for Alex to be running around for me to actually have that as a living example of what it means to be an inclusive community of faith. My son Isaac, who is training to be a deacon in the United Church, he works for Hope Street. Next slide. And Hope Street is a drop-in center out of Elizabeth. And so he, last year, him and another person managed to get some funding for Hope Street. They got a grant for $100,000. Which meant they could actually employ some people a couple of days a week. And it's in Elizabeth, and it's offering food and youth drop-in center and a whole pile of stuff. And one of the challenges is that, well, they're basically volunteers, and they require funding from year to year. So getting funding 1 year is a hee-hee. But he said, now we're looking at trying to get funding for next year. And it's just an ongoing thing. And he said, someone said to him, Isaac, we hear you're doing some great stuff there, man, but we need some statistics. You know, tell us how these kids are enjoying your... We want to see some statistics. So Isaac went, okay. So him and his team got together some surveys. And out of the 100 kids they have coming along, they had 35 surveys back, which anybody who does psychology or sociology knows that it's a pretty good return. And out of those 35 replies, they had asked a whole lot of different questions like, you know, are you enjoying your time here? Yes. One of the questions asked is, how many community organizations are you involved in? And if Hope Street closed, what would you do? And a lot of the children, 80% of those children said that Hope Street was their only community connection outside their family. And if Hope Street closed, they would not go anywhere. There would be no connection for them. So it's a pretty insane thing to think, isn't it? And all these kids are struggling with purpose, and like Holden's shut down, so there's you can't even aspire to be in on the assembly line. So it's like, what do you do with your life? Where do you go? So it was really interesting that Isaac, I guess, was trying to connect in. And I guess it goes to the heart of community, doesn't it? We all need community. We all need community. Just like we need the rain, we need community. Just, it's one of those things that just is such a vital thing. You know, the craft group, the Friday Friends, the Home Aloners, the new outreach mission to the Rifle Club. Sunday school. All these different things that are significant points of outreach. Haven't you come along and sing? Sensational. All ways of connecting in. Relationships. The fourth slide we have here up next. Thus we have been set free to experience our rightful heritage. You can tell for sure that you are now fully adopted as his own children because God sent his spirit of his son into our lives crying, Papa, or Abba, Father. Doesn't that privilege of intimate conversation with God make it plain that you are not a slave, but a child? And if you're a child, you're also an heir with complete access to the inheritance. Now, Abba, Father, or Daddy, it's a really intimate term, isn't it? So I'm not sure if the way you relate to God has that sort of intimate connection. For some, they really dislike that idea that somehow you can have a daddy or papa relationship with God. For many, such as Karen Engel, she would say that, you know, papa or daddy reduces God's glory. God our Father is also master of the universe, creator of all things, revealer of all mysteries, judge of everything hidden. So for Karen, she really can't cope with the idea that talking to God intimately as Father, Papa, Dad, just something she cannot comprehend. But that's really part of what this reading is trying to say. Paul's trying to say to us, we have this connection, relationship with God that is like a parent-child relationship, a good one. You know, a nice connection where you feel loved and intimate and supported. But like most things, you know, how are we as adults trying to connect in with being a child? And I was thinking that, and the next slide, I try and get into the thinking of that. You know, is Paul really saying we should be revert back to childhood or somehow mature early as a child? My apologies, women, I did look for a child equivalent for female, but they just, there was nothing. It's obvious that men are really quite happy to make fools of themselves on a regular basis. And I think that's true. But the question is, how do you relate to God? What is it? You know, is there that close relationship? Is it more formal? Does it even matter? For Paul, the key outcome of being family was inclusion. The key part of this metaphor of family, of being a child, was that we are included. Regardless where we might find ourselves, doesn't the privilege of intimate conversation with God make it plain that you're not a slave but a child? Now, as I said before, you know, Paul was writing in a Roman time where slaves were prevalent. You can imagine the slaves hearing this and feeling that somehow, because slaves had no right, they couldn't get married, they were bought and sold, it was just like, you know, if you were captured, that was it, forget it. The Christian message is a message to the poor, the powerless, the disconnected. And the quote that I like next from Peter. But you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Sometimes we miss that, don't we? In the end, God gathers us in. God wants to connect us. When God looks at us, Dave's dodgy drawing, God looks at us, sees us, as loved and accepted, as named, not some number. Now, occasionally I flick the TV when I'm having lunch, and I came across a program on SBS. It was, must have been a repeat. Have you ever seen the one with, it's called Eye to Eye with Ray Martin? It's on SBS. Years, it came out years ago. And they must have been recycling it at lunchtime. But it's a story. What happens is they get two people, and unlike the radio program I showed the other week where someone randomly rings in and says surprise, they get two people who've been disconnected. They ring up and say, okay, this other person wants to see you. Are you interested in catching up? And what they do is they have two chairs and they sit the people down facing each other and they can't say a thing for 5 minutes. All they can do is just look at each other. And this particular special, there was two friends who had an argument and hadn't spoken to each other for 15 years. And then there was a father and son. He'd left 35 years ago. And so, yeah, that's a pretty big thing. Imagine the person you dislike the most having to sit across them for 5 minutes and look at it. What would that restoration connection, what would that 5 minutes feel like? It was really a very interesting program. And it was interesting to see, you know, we're very visual, aren't we? We can look at each other's faces and we can see all the emotions crawling all over our faces. And it was interesting watching these people look at each other and the tears or the reaction slowly come as they recognize this sort of thing. But what is also interesting is that each person would look at the other to see if there was a welcome, a tick, a yes, I'm willing to connect. It's a bit like building a bridge, you know. For us to connect, we both have to connect. We both have to build. I can't just simply thrust across and grab you and yes. There has to be a mutuality, doesn't it? A connection that we both build. And in that 5 minutes, you could see that very rickety rope bridge or whatever it was being built. Tenuous connections. Now, after this 5 minutes, they both went away and they could make a choice about if they wanted to talk. So, and then you get to see them back talking. And it really struck me. In many ways, God is like one of these people looking at the other person. You know, we're disconnected and disenfranchised, but we are looking to God to see if God is giving us that welcome, open, yes, let's keep going. And it made me think of, you know, when God looks at us, what do we see when we look into God's eyes? What do you think about that? When you look at God or when you consider God, what do you think or feel? How do you experience God's love towards you? I know some people feel judgment. Ah, that'd be hard. What is it? What does that being in relationship with God feel like to you? And what does that elicit in your response? When someone loves you so fully, how do you then open up? So, I've often said that one of the things God invites us to do in our lives is to learn to love ourselves, to see ourselves as God sees us, and to be able to share that with others. And that's a powerful thing when you really think about it, because lots of times we don't necessarily like others or ourselves. But God loves and accepts us. And our challenge is to live our lives in a way that reflects that inside so that we know this love that sets us free. Free to be all we can be as a community, as individuals. So, my prayer for you this week, and again, it's another big topic really that might stir a whole pile of stuff. But Paul says that Jesus draws us together through the cross in a way that reinforces love. And this love leads to inclusion, acceptance. So we can see ourselves as God sees us, loved and accepted. So we can see others as God sees others, as loved, as accepted. Well, as you journey through this week, I hope you see clearly. Maybe you might need to clean your glasses. I don't know, whatever. You know what I mean. When I pause, we'll stop for a moment, I'll share a prayer, give you a chance to reflect. Because in the end, we are children of God. That is how we are seen. That's how we experience our lives. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for our lives. We thank you for the way in which you continually capture us with a love that is just mind-blowing and beyond our understanding. Lord Jesus, we ask that we might continue to grow our inner love so that we might radiate through our eyes the love that is within. In Jesus' name, amen.
Everything hangs on my left ear. You've got to accept that. So my mask, my glasses, my microphone all hangs on my left ear. Is it left ear the one that Van Gogh cut off? I can't remember. Maybe he didn't like his microphone. Everybody's sitting there thinking, why is Daphne coming up and Trevor's not playing? Well, once upon a time, at the beginning of last week, the beginning of this week, Trevor was going heading out the door right now because he had a webinar conference to be part of. But as things happen at this time of the year and Mr. COVID wielded his big fist, the webinar's off. But we decided we still wanted to have Daphne play. So we've had lots of people coming up and showing their skills. We had Chloe, we've had Trevor, we've had Daphne. We've had lots and lots of extra bits today. This song, the chorus goes, Jesus, please watch over us. Jesus, please take care of us. What a lovely way to finish, which is what you were saying. Yeah, take care. Oh, sorry guys, I just kicked that microphone. Boom. Went through the microphone, the poor old person sitting at home. I think we can stand, because the first line is, as we step from the edge of morning. So let's stand and sing. Ready? And let us sing
as we step from the edge of morning, feet can't tell where to take us. Here's a light that will shine for.
Chorus.
Jesus.
Go in peace to serve the Lord, and may the love of Christ shine through your eyes this week. Amen.
And we sing again,
Jesus, please.